Leise war gestern, der Time for Metal Podcast.
Ein herzerfrischendes Moin Moin und guten Tag hier bei Leise war gestern, dem Time for Metal Podcast. Wir wechseln gleich auf Englisch, weil wir heute Gäste aus Dänemark haben. Wir sprechen heute mit Siamese, mit dem Gitarristen Andreas und mit dem Sänger Mirza. Und sind selbst so ein bisschen gespannt, weil das ein Experiment auch wird, mal eine Folge auf Englisch jetzt zu machen. That's why we switch now to English. And maybe for those who might come here and only understand English, we should explain the rules of the game that we're gonna play in a minute. But first of all, welcome to this episode. First to my dear colleague Kai. Hello, Kai.
Hi, I'm Pia. Nice to meet you today.
Nice to meet you too. And also nice to meet you, Mirza. Hi.
Danke für die Einleitung. Time for metal.
Now nobody will understand why we do this in English. And also hello to you, Andreas.
Thank you. Hello. Good to see you.
Yes, we, as always, will start with our game, with a theme roulette. We have a random topic and we will discuss that for exactly 10 minutes. Not even Kai and I do know which one it will be in this episode. Then we will talk a bit about the band, about Siamese and their upcoming album, Elements. And then, if we have enough time, we're gonna play another round of the theme roulette. That's the rules so far. And I would say, let's start with the first topic.
So, okay, I press the randomizer. And the first topic we talk about, Pia, please start the timer, is how do your fans influence you and your music? And due to the fact that you are our guest, I will hand over this to Andreas as first. Andreas, how do your fans influence your music?
I'm not sure if they, I think always when you play songs live, you tend to kind of feel out how the audience is reacting to it. So I think, very much like in the concert settings, our fans influence our writing. We got more heavy.
Okay.
On the last album and especially on this album. So I think in that way, the people that come to the concerts definitely have some say in what we write. We are also open for suggestions if people come up to us and talk to us, but that hasn't been so much the case so far. But definitely the reaction in the live crowd when we play stuff that. It's more and more a factor when we are in the creative process.
Okay. And Mirza, what would you say if you compare this? So Andrea said that this is more the life thing influenced your music. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, surely I do. But I think maybe also I have another take. I remember vividly when we started touring, like doing the smaller shows in the beginning, we met almost everyone who was attending at Tilt. So we talked to everyone.
Okay.
This is something we still do a lot. We are still at the merch table. But in the beginning, especially, the people we talked to, they were German, English, no matter where they came from, they all had personal stories attached to the songs that we've made without meeting them. So actually meeting the fans and talking to them and hearing about their life stories and what they went through and how the music, what it really meant for them, this particular song or this particular theme was a good motivation to maybe keep digging in the same way and trying to focus on the stuff. So it gave us a focus on what we wanted to write about and what type of fans we had. We did all sorts of songs. So some songs were this type of theme. And I think we just grew together with the fans. We just figured, okay, they don't care about this stuff at all. So maybe that's just for us, for me, or Andreas. And maybe we should focus more on these songs that have these sorts of themes because it seems to resonate with the people that we are actually speaking to. Mm-hmm. So it became a very valid and very valuable tool for us to be out at the shows, to meet people, to have enough energy to actually be at the merch table almost at every show we've ever played.
Okay.
Has actually turned out to be a key factor, just knowing our fan base and knowing what they want so we can give them what they want, because at the end of the day, I understand that we are artists and we do this for ourselves along of the way, but we also want to make music for someone. And those someone are the guys and girls at the shows. So yeah, it became very important.
Cool. And
I also think it's just especially for the rock and metal scene, it's so much a lifestyle for people.
Mm-hmm.
So as Mirza said, we try to meet as many people as we can. And we found out that it actually really means a lot to people, like some of the songs, and does a lot for them in their personal lives. So that's also, like, as Mirza said, motivation for us. But mm-hmm. also, people actually listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, that's where I was gonna ask about. I remember that Nightwish, the band, the symphonic metal band from Finland, they all even did a song for a fan because they met him and he said that he has cancer and he doesn't have a long time to live. They also spread the news and the day when he died, and they talked with him and took so many influence from the talk with him that they dedicated a song to him, even with a short voice message of him. This is a very huge example, but did you get some inspiration like this, that a fan told you a specific story that you put into a song later?
I'm not sure I would do that, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But we have used our stage to pinpoint certain people mm-hmm. in the crowd who have shared specific stories with us. I did it just a month ago. It can sound a bit cold-hearted when you're a musician and you're making music, because for me and Andreas, we love doing what we do, but it ultimately is work. And when you go out and you create something that transcends that, that is bigger than work, it's bigger than just a product, it's bigger than just a song, it's actually a time and place in their life which they will remember forever because of mm-hmm. one specific song that did something to them, then it becomes larger than life. Then it's something that's so meaningful that nothing else really can replace that. No money, no fame, no accomplishment comes near that type of validation as an artist that you can get from people telling you, "I was almost, you know, gonna let go," or "I was going through a depression, and your music this did that, that song with that lyric did that." You get those stories. And that's an unbelievable community and togetherness mm-hmm. on the scene. And I think especially in Germany, actually, it's becoming stronger and stronger. And I have very strong connection to the German scene, especially with the people who are just genuinely music fans. I don't think in Europe, I don't want to flatter you too much, but I don't think anywhere in Europe we'll find better music fans than in the German scene.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Name of the German scene, yeah. But when it comes to music, it's always, let's say, a 50-50. So you will find people who like your music and they will find people who don't like what you do. And how did criticisms, if it's positive or negative, influence you? So also if this is a negative one. So now we had some positive one. Andreas?
Can you repeat the question? Sorry, one more time.
We've had now positive critics. Yeah, so if somebody said, "Hey, this means something for me," or "That's very special for me," or you made my moment. Yeah, with one song, with one concert. So how do you react, and how did negative critics form you or influence you as a musician?
I don't think we paid much attention ever to negative comments.
Okay.
I think no matter what you do, you can't please everyone. And if you please everyone, then I don't think it's interesting enough, maybe.
Right.
if that's like the dream case. I think a band like Siamese has always kind of split the crowd a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because it's quite unconventional in the things we do and the genres we blend. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to get praise and to hear all like the stories that people tell. And, oh, I met my wife at a Siamese concert and now we're here again or whatever. A lot of those kind of stories. And that's a really cool thing that is kind of part of people's life. Something that we wrote in a summer house. Or in our studio or in our bedroom, whatever. But I think sometimes if people come with a negative comment, it's really easy to see if it's their shit or if it's our shit.
Yeah.
I think if there's like a constructive criticism, this part is kind of weak or whatever, I would actually go, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But if it's like, oh, this band is shit and they should stop making music, okay, that's your shit. that's just you being hateful on the internet because whatever reason people have. So I think we've always made whatever we want to make in that.
Stop.
That's the timer. So the 10 minutes are over. Okay. Thanks a lot for the first topic. So there's one another rule we didn't set about this. So you're not allowed to talk about this topic in this episode anymore. So
that's not ever on this podcast even.
That's why we never took the topic and we talk about our own podcast.
You make it interesting. That's cool. Yeah.
but it's so we're not so hard in this rule. But rules are there to get ruled. So in we are German, so yeah, you know.
Right.
You said it, not us.
To go over to let's say, to the promo slot, I normally say, before we talk about your new release, I want to take a step back to your older releases. So 2012, you released Breath, See, Move, which... Oh yeah! If you could see their eyes, shit! He's talking about something that was very old, very school. Old, old school shit. This one had a chart peak, yeah. So if we take a look on the internet, you will see that you were on the charts in Denmark for on the eighth place. So what? And now we talk about the future. So where will the Elements, your new release, end up? What do you think?
Nowhere.
Oh,
definitely nowhere in the chart. It's a different time now.
Okay,
and our fans are spread across the globe, so we can't. There's no way we'll be hitting them next. So we'll try the German ones. I know the label really wants to do it because they want to have a chart, but it's not gonna be eighth. That I can reassure you on that. I'm gonna go bold and say 59.
Do you know the German band Lord of the Lost? They were at the Eurovision Song Contest as well. They did a really smart move. They released an album on the very last Friday of the year where no one else releases albums. And so they got really, really high. I don't know if they really were on the first place, but they were high up in the charts.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to tell you, I work in industry. I work behind the industry as well. And I can tell you, no one. Absolutely no one who works in music cares for 1 week placement.
Yeah.
So you can get 1 week at number one and it will, number one might be okay, but number two to 200 doesn't really matter because it's just a case of you selling a lot of your own fans that it's not really going to move anything for you. So I am past the charting. I am past the metrics. I just want to release the album and go out and play to a lot of people. That is my intention.
We have a third podcast member who is not here today. Hello, Flo. But he is a big fan of you and he said that we should say hello from him and that your new single, Hurricane, is really fire. And since your album is called Elements, I was, of course, looking up the track list and I found The Shape of Water is track number one. Hurricane Would Not Be the Fire for Me, It Would Be the Wind Element for Me is track nine. And we have On Fire on number six. But where's Earth? Which song represents Earth?
Well, we don't have an Earth song per se, but we do say the word Earth in Shape of Water. Because I was kind of like, oh shit, we forgot a one. But we actually have it in there. But that's in Shape of Water.
Well, and we also have the fifth element, ether, in chemistry.
Mm. And it's, and love it if it comes to the fifth element as well.
Talking about movies, The Shape of Water is also a movie. Is that, or was that an influence for you for the first song?
I just thought it was a cool song. It could be a cool song title. Also, it's a great movie title. There's just a lot of cool stuff you can write out of that song title. So it was just kind of iconic. We just started with the song title, basically. Like, we had the music, but lyric-wise, we just had a couple of song titles that kind of looks good and sounds cool. So, yeah, it just inspired us.
Let's maybe go a bit deeper into that topic. Elements as the album title and also the reference in some songs. What's the bigger idea behind that? And why are you laughing at me?
Yes, it was distracting me.
just took a sock as a
What was I asking? Now I am distracted. What's the bigger idea behind the elements as a title and also using elements in the songs and the song title?
Are
you chemist? What's the word
chemistry,
in English?
Chemistry.
Do you work in chemistry in real life? Or what's the idea behind that?
Oh, I cannot speak legally about the idea about behind that. But if the other stuff, I would say sometimes things just fall into your lap. Mm-hmm. And we actually did not think about, like, we talked to somebody else about this, a coincidental concept album, because it never was our meaning to do like a concept of things, but we just noticed, oh, we talk a lot about the elements and we talk about water, fire, stuff like that. And so, like, why make it difficult for ourselves? Let's call the album Elements. And we were just at ease with it. It was fitting, it was suiting, it sounded good, it looked good. And sometimes for an album title, that's...
So if you think of your last LP, it was Home. And if you compare this with a new one, so I think the last one was very experimental. I found a review online which said it's very more wicked than the previous one. So how would you compare this with this?
Well, talking about concepts and stuff, Home was also a concept that kind of happened because the whole album was written during lockdown. During COVID. Yeah. So all the stories and all the lyrics and I guess some of the moods and on the album was kind of like more introvert and a bit more, it was about what happens within the four walls of the home. This album is much more abstract, I think. It's still like relations and stuff, but it's a bit more larger than life, the way it's written, I think. And also the last album was kind of like the first time we really found our pocket sound wise. And, this album is just a natural progression from that last album. Mm-hmm. So everything is just, the electronic stuff, the heavy stuff, the choruses, everything is just dialed up more in its own, aspect.
Yeah, I can chime in on that. When we did Home, it felt like when you figure out you have a talent for something, you know, this is something, okay. And now on Elements, it feels like, okay, so you know, I follow a lot of sports, So let's just go like into cycling, something like cycling. And you go, oh, fuck, I'm really good at this fucking cycling thing. I can do this sort of thing really good. And then on elements, it felt like, okay, now I need to be, you know, better nutrition, better training, better everything. And everything got better. Like the production is better. The ideas are a little bit better. The choruses are a little bit better. Everything just got better from the get-go from home, the elements. And I just hope when people hear this that they agree with me and I'm not just overselling our products. But I think that's where we're heading.
I'm kind of sure we'll find out. We will find out. When it comes to the production, anything changed? So you said you were very influenced on at home, yeah, that I think you really did some DIY things, so I can imagine that you did this for this album. So was the elements now created in the studio, or how did you proceed with this?
It's basically this laptop here. Everything is created on this laptop.
Nice to meet you, laptop.
Laptop.
$1 million.
The last four Siamese albums has been produced on, like, we do everything ourselves.
Okay.
And when we feel confident about it, we send it to our mixer, Chris Kreuzfeld, and finish it with him. But otherwise, we are very much, as mentioned, a DIY band. And we don't need a big fancy studio. It's only if you like recording drums, you need a good drum room. Other than that, technology is just exploding in the music world right now. And you don't need a lot. You don't even need a good microphone anymore. So you have all these crazy plugins that can kind of clean up your sound. But it's, nothing changed, basically. I think we just made it even more simple, the whole setup.
I saw a meme the other day, which was very fun in relation to what Andreas is talking. A meme where it said, it was like a big crowd, a big stage, and it said, guitarist using digital amps, like this big crowd. And under him was a guy sitting on a sofa, like guy using 8-tube amps and whatever session setups and shit, and, you know, which is kind of giving the picture of where the world is now, especially in our day and age. For us, we are so digital with everything. Even our, when you look at our life setup, it's so small now. We can travel easily in different continents and still have a full production with us. So we are, I think, very, I mean, all of the bands in our scene are, but, you know, we're really, really forward thinking when it comes to equipment and production, and also just doing everything ourselves, which is a very, very fundamental, very important part.
Yeah. And also this podcast, we are sitting in four different rooms. Exactly. Only because
spaces. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just mentioned that I read the track list, and of course I was also listening to the album, and I was wondering, you have the song that is also called This Is Not a Song, and it is a quote-unquote song that is really pumping you up, but it's the very last song. I was wondering why that wasn't the opener for the album. What's the idea to put a song like this on the end of the album?
It could be an opener. I
thought about it as a concert opener as well.
Oh yeah, we definitely talked about that too. I think Shape of Water was just the kind of big hello song that we felt was a good opener for the album, but it's just good to, you know, finish off heavy. And also we had so many riffs, and Mirza just suggested, what if we just have breakdowns and kind of make it into this security brief thing. And we had so much fun in the studio making that. But it actually says, we are going to send you off with a kiss, or like the big finale kind of the AI lady that talks over the song. So I think it's an almost humoristic way of ending the album, because it's so heavy and ignorant. That's like, it kind of slaps you in the face and then, you know, goodbye. See you later.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm awake now. I need more input. And then it ends.
Listen to the whole album again and again and again.
That's a good idea.
That's a cliffhanger. Yeah. That's what makes some good series good, to have a good cliffhanger at the end. So is there a second element in planning? So if you say you now release a new album, and what happens next?
I think it would be nice if we had the time to just dwell and do remixes and features, reinvent like Bad Omens just did. It's cool and it's nice, but you never know. Right now we are fully focused on just releasing this album and then doing what we've been doing the last couple of years, getting out there, play. We are getting more and more ferociously aware that the chance of us going viral on internet is getting slimmer and slimmer. We are just not that type of band. We've never been that type of band, I guess. It has to feel natural for us, and our natural habitat is on stage. So we're just gonna climb those stages and keep doing what we do until we can't do it anymore. So our plan is definitely just to be out there. Oh, I was so close to mentioning the topic. Being together with our fans and then playing some shows all over the world. We still have some places we want to go. We still have some festivals we want to visit. And now we have a US tour in October. We're going to have a headline tour coming to Germany and England in the new year. And after that, we'll see. I just would like not to be support as much as we've been lately. We've been supporting everyone. I mean, we've been support for everyone pretty much on the scene in Europe. So I would like to, unless it's something really big like Corey Taylor was, I would like to do some other stuff with my life.
So you just as a summary, you say you would like to take the momentum and play as long as it's possible.
And just, you know, I love the guys who buy our tickets. I love our fans. And I want to meet with them as much as possible. That's what makes me happy. That's what makes our job worth doing.
So all Siamese fans here listening to this podcast episode, so please buy a ticket for one of those concerts or one of those festivals. And if you're from the US, welcome to the German podcast.
And make sure to visit the merch booth as well. And meet the band.
Always that. But to answer your question with new material, the next album isn't even out. So, I think there's a creative period kind of starting sometime soon, but let's get this album out and then we'll talk about new material. But I think, it kind of happens on its own. Naturally,
it's a new material. Actually, funny period right now. This period right before the album comes out in 14 days exactly, and right now is like when you've eaten a pizza, three burgers, you've eaten a shake, and you have just had dessert and three beers. That's how it feels right now. You're just full. Creatively, you're just full. Just thinking about like, right now. I remember when we did Home. I was like, oof. Never doing an album again. And then 6 months later, we were at it again, because after some time, you just look at your hands and be like, what am I going to do now? There's time to fill out. And that's when you get creative again, from being bored, basically. That always happens to me a bit.
I will force Mirza to write a song tomorrow and he will puke. He will throw up.
Exactly. I will hate it. All the way to Germany. We're coming to Germany tomorrow.
Cool.
so give us a hint. So it will release in August. So when did you finish the record? So normally there's a big time slot between finishing an album and releasing. So when did it finish?
February.
Oh.
So not that bad.
Okay. So you just...
So new writing next month.
Yeah. But well, we mixed, for quite a while, and like we had to, like when we demo stuff, we just record everything ourselves, and we had to re-record guitars and bass, and there's a lot of mixing and versions of the songs and, you know, back and forth. But I remember we were in Hamburg in the Markthalle, when we actually had, we got the last mix from Chris Kreuzfeld, and it was like, now it's actually done, like fully done.
So is there one thing where you say, okay, now we need to say it's fully done, even if you could change something? So is there the natural thing where you say you need to stop now until you clean everything again and start from scratch? So I know this when I do some creative stuff that I always have to make a deadline or whatever kind of thing, just to say, now it's finished. Doesn't matter what things are, could be better or could be different. How do you act with this?
Yes, I am very, very happy that both me and Andreas are professional and do this full time, because we are both painfully aware of deadlines and that there are certain goals that we want to achieve. The music doesn't hamper it too much. Of course, it's got to take its time. But at one point, Andreas is definitely the one who can keep going. And I'm definitely one who will set up the deadlines and be more like, okay, I understand you need more time. I'll give you until here, and then we need to move on. And that works really fine for us, that we have our roles in that. Because if we both were the same type of person, I don't think we would have released that much music, because especially with Andreas and then Chris again, and when they go at it with the details of the mix and the production, which I am not the detail guy. So it's a very good balance, actually, that we can have somebody who just tells somebody to stop. Okay, you're at mix 7 or 8 now. Maybe you're getting lost, you know? And then Andreas will be the other way. You need to give this time. You are not done. Please don't rush things. So it goes both ways. I think that's how we know. And have a good feeling for each other. We've been doing music together for 12, 15 years. So that also builds a relationship of knowing, like, oh, okay, now you're just pedaling, or he can tell me, oh, you're just rushing things because you want to play at this festival or you want to be at this or whatever. And that's not going to make a good song.
Yeah. We are also very good with deadlines on this podcast, since we have the strong 10-minute limit. Okay, do you have a final question, or should we play another round of theme roulette?
Let's go theme. I like the theme. Fun.
Yeah, so I'm open for the next topic, yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about your upcoming album before we start the next round?
I hope people like it and go listen to it. It's pretty simple. We did our best.
So everyone, nice. If you don't listen yet to Siamese, you can start now and listen to the old, or whatever old means, old releases, yeah? And in August, you will find something new on the desk at your CD or record label company, or wherever you buy or listen to music. So keep on listening to Siamese, yeah.
And I will say I am from Serbia. I have gypsy mother and father, and I can throw a curse at you. If you do not listen to Siamese, your legs will be too long and your arms will be too short. So listen to the new Siamese. Yes. Yeah?
I've seen it happen.
Okay. See, look at the dress. Look at the dress.
I will now start listening again. Yes, so I'm a bit afraid of your curse. Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Let's go to the next topic. So I press on the randomizer, and the topic says, first things first. So I have 5 subtopics, and we just need to talk about those 5 subtopics. So the first one is first concert as a fan. Mirza.
Papa Roach. Storvega in Copenhagen.
And Andreas?
Oh, shit. I can't remember. First concert as a fan. I think it was some Danish act, some joke band kind of. I went to Tivoli in Copenhagen.
Okay. Anything you both remember to this first concert where you say this is Mirza?
I was 13 or 14 years old, and a lady next to me, she was cheering so loud, her top fell off, and that was the first time in my life I saw a bra.
Your lucky day.
True story. True story. Imagine me, 13 years old, never seen a boob in my life, and there she was, and it was a bra, and that's why I remember the first show, to be honest. I will never forget
never
that.
Never mind the music.
I will never forget that. That was crazy.
That was really a personal show just for you. Pia, what about you?
Modern Talking.
Was serious?
Yes. Everyone knows them.
That's those two Germans, right? They have great hair. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thomas Anders had really great hair.
They have that German face. Like, there must be some specific area in Germany where everybody looks like that. Like, they have like Steffen Effenberg, like Steffen, Sebastian Schweinsteiger, Modern Talking, they all look the same. It's like they're from a certain area of mountains that they get these guys. They all look like Terminator or something. It's crazy.
They should have checked their genes if they are somehow the same.
Also, Hansi Hinterseer, he has kind of the same, like that very bulky face.
I once had dinner with Hansi Hinterseer. I worked for a company that was working with a very big Schlager event, and they had a special summer show, and Hansi Hinterseer was there, and we were all after the show having dinner together, and I sat next to him on the table.
How was he? Was he larger than life? Was he crazy?
No, he was really kind, and it wasn't like I was a fan and I was going crazy or something. We were just working there, and it was business surrounding, so we were all calmed down. But it was nice talking to him. No, I wasn't.
It was really professional how you were there, yeah? Okay.
I hope so.
for me, concert, first concert as a fan. So also, to be honest, this is, I'm not sure if you know the band. It's called Pur.
Pur.
It's also Pur. a German band. Is this pop? Is this Schlager?
Schlager.
I'm kind of not sure. So in this case, I listened to the music my parents listened to, and I was 5 years old, and my parents took us to.
Wait, do you remember stuff from when you were five?
Yeah, but only because of some pictures, and because of the thing that they've had a very big. Oh, good. How is it called in English? Drachen, Luftdrachen. So they had a very, very big thing in the front. And I was very, very amazed about how could they do such a big thing. And yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. I was a young kid. So, but it was very fun.
Made an impression.
Okay.
Is Schlager your thing? Is
like, no, that really no. Really no.
Not at all. It's very big here, very popular in Germany. But
time for Schlager.
I think. Yeah, just take a look at
Time for Schlager. We had that as an April Fool's Day joke with Time for Schlager.
Yeah. Take a look at Time for Schlager.eu. We have this URL. Yeah.
My God. He's been undercovered this whole time. In reality, he just loves Hansi and all those guys.
I hate those. Okay, let's go to the next. First things first. The first concert as an artist. Andreas?
I had a band before Siamese. That was my first band. Mm-hmm. It was called King's Cross. And there was, I can't even remember where we played. Mirza, he was actually booking us.
Really?
Yeah, that's how we met. I think it was like some small venue in Copenhagen or the outskirts of Copenhagen, something like that. But that was my old band. But then I would say maybe first real, like, as an artist, probably been Siamese in Copenhagen 15 years ago. Fuck.
That's long. Time's running, yeah.
Mine was at a Christian youth house, which is funny because I'm Muslim.
Okay.
Yeah. And we played covers. We played four songs, which we rehearsed. And one of the songs we played was... there was a football championship going on. I think it was the European Cup. And we played a Serbian version of the Danish... You know, every year you have a song to represent the country. Not the national song, but like a song. I did a Serbian rendition of the Danish song. In Danish, it goes, "Vi Danmarks drenge."
Oh my God.
Element. That was the song. And I just turned into Miss Mugoslavenski, Momci, although, you know, I sang it in Serbian. The funny thing was, we were at this Christian youth center and we brought all our friends, and all our friends brought alcohol, which was strictly forbidden. But it was like everybody had bags of alcohol just running in, and just a bunch of 14-year-olds really, really fucking drunk. And it was actually also a paid gig we got, which was funny because we played there the first time and we got paid 100 kroners, which is 13 euros. And then the second time we played there, more people came and they didn't pay us. That's religion for you. That's religion for you. Doesn't make any sense.
I just wanted to
say, how about you?
I'm very happy that music doesn't take care about your religion. So it doesn't mean if you're Christian or if you're Muslim or whatever you are, if you play music, doesn't matter. So I think that's nice.
Our drummer was very religious. He was Christian, very Christian. And I actually asked him once, because I was Muslim, and I remember this, one of the conversations I will always remember. I said to him, "So Jan, I'm not Christian. Do you think I'll go to hell?" And he said, "Yes, of course. Surely you will."
Well,
he was one of my best friends, but he was convinced I am going to hell.
The band didn't survive.
Let's be honest, you are.
Yeah, I'm going to hell. I'm doing devil's.
Did you have a festival, Copenhell, in
exactly, we do. Denmark, we just played there this year.
So,
Kai, have you been on stage as an artist?
Yes and no. So, not as
Schlager,
a musician.
What Schlager festival was
No. So not as a
Kai's a very famous Schlager musician.
So that's because of my face, you know. So I'm a certain area. No, so my first concert, was it a concert? So I was a speaker for our own concert event. So I was the idiot who introduced the next band. It was also, I think, 13 years ago. And yeah, just stand on stage was also a bit drunken because we were sponsored by an alcohol company. And they gave us shots for every guest. And most of all said, "I don't drink. If I drink alone," I said, "Okay, let's go do it." So it was a very, very hard one, but nobody yelled at me, so it was okay.
Hansi Hinterseer.
Hansi Hinterseer, yes, backing vocals. No. I took classical singing lessons when I was a kid, and my teacher was very Christian as well. And he always took his students to church to sing in front of the people there. And so probably my first gig, quote unquote, was probably in a church with the ensemble of my classical singing teacher.
Okay.
I think I actually misunderstood the question because you said as an artist, or I thought it was like original songs, but I have a way better answer than, you know.
Okay.
The Siamese.
Go ahead.
I used to play the recorder when I was like 7 years old. And there was 500 kids all playing the flute, the recorder, with this Danish soul singer called It's a Cameron. And it was probably the most heinous sound you've ever heard in your fucking life. So imagine 500 seven-year-olds just playing the recorder at the same time. That was my first concert.
Okay, before we don't have any time for the next one, first things first. So we can leave this for the next guests. Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Mirza and Andreas, for taking some time with us here. And we have
the
honor. So we are honored to hand over our money we pay for the GEMA.
In Germany, we have to do this.
Yeah. We need to pay license to play licensed music on our podcast. And due to the fact that you have the honor to decide what song we play in our outro, it's more or less you paying our money out. So who will get the license in the end. So you can choose a song from you, from Hansi Hinterseer, or whoever you want to do. This song will also be added to the playlist on Spotify. So Flo is very famous in doing this and very good in doing this, updating the playlist.
Okay, listen, I feel sorry, first of all, that you have to pay. I didn't know.
Just, I need to be
so good. I hope some of the money also goes to you artists.
I don't know.
But so that's why we do this.
Probably
Andreas,
not.
Andreas, would you mind? Would you mind?
I think we should change the track. Exactly.
Change the track because we've been talking now. So a new idea has come in.
And okay. I think we should pick something obscure.
Yes, I think.
You can also pick your own song if you want to.
Fruits, yeah.
If I can have one thing I could choose, I would like song Ski Twist with Hansi Hinterseer, yeah?
I concur.
Ski Twist.
Can we please hear that song?
If we can hear it here now.
No, just play the outro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. So is this your final choice? So
Of course.
Awesome.
Okay. Everyone, thanks for listening to this episode, and we really hope you will listen to our podcast after you listen to the outro song. Mirza will introduce you now, this song here, and we hope we hear each other next week on Tuesday. We'll have another episode. No, on Wednesday, we'll have an episode of Perle der Woche, and then 2 weeks later, we will have the next standard episode here. Thank you, Mirza and Andreas, and now, Mirza, please introduce your...
Meine Brüder und meine Tochtern, hier kommt er, der Mann der Legende. Ist bereit, aber bist du bereit? Jetzt ist es nur Zeit für Ski Twist mit Hansi Hinterseer.
Ja. Let's go.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye. Have fun.
Auf den Pisten schauen uns die Hasen an. Ja, wer im Rhythmus reden kann, der ist beliebt bei jedermann. Ja, wenn wir twisten auf den Pisten, ist der Winter wunderschön. Da kann die Skisaison bis in den Sommer gehen. Und auf geht's!